So as we come this morning, I want to speak to us a little bit about a subject called renewal. And I believe we're in a time of great resetting, a time of renewing, a time of revival in the earth. And we look at even how nature is blossoming, how it's reviving as the wicked intentions of man has been thwarted, has it been stopped, how industries have ground to a halt that have been extracting from the earth. Man was never designed to be an extractor of the earth. It's been designed to manage the earth and to rule over the fishes of the air, the birds. Everything that has been created by the Father, our responsibility is management. And in that management, we have become extractionist. We have been taking out, been destroying. And even the earth now yearns for the revealing of an identity. It reveals for a son to be revealed, the revealing of God's sons. So the earth is longing for it, and that son is a mature child of God that stands up in the earth and takes his responsibility serious. It goes back to the original intent for our creation, and that's the journey we're on. So if you think that we're looking for any new thought, any new text, any new theology to tickle you, no, we on the journey to come back to the original intent and purposes of God. So won't you come with me this morning? I've got a few scriptures. You can write it down. You can record it. And you can journey with me through these scriptures. My first scripture is found in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. And thank you for those who are sending messages, those who are tuning in right now. Thank you for the post. Thank you for all your notices you are sending. Please greet the church. Welcome one another to this platform. And this is one way we can create connection. If you know somebody that is not getting these messages, who are unable to tune in because they don't have data, or they don't have Wi-Fi, or they don't have a smart device, we have made this teachings and our meetings available on DVD, and we will even deliver that DVD, as long as it's not in Durban or Johannesburg. We will deliver it within Cape Town personally to them. And thank you, Brother Reggie, for doing that. He's copied and made a lot of our teachings and the services available, so you can still have contact. You can keep up to date with what we're talking about. So please, if you do know anybody that doesn't have Wi-Fi and needs access and just want to be in touch, we can drop off a DVD and we will gladly do so. So come with me to the Bible. If you've got your Bibles with you, won't you open it, won't you take some notes? If you're sitting with your family, it's really good. Sit with the Bible, with your iPad and your phones. And if you're not streaming, make sure that your Wi-Fi is off, and so that you don't disturb the Wi-Fi and you're also not distracted. So my first scripture is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them." These are harsh words. But if we read it, I've read it quickly, but if we read it pretty slow, you will see a couple of things here in the scripture. Terrible times in the last days. We are certainly in the last days. We are in the closing chapters of what is the last days. And if we look at the signs that's written here in Timothy, almost every single one of these signs are fulfilled. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Look at the murders around the world, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure. Look at all the people mourning the entertainment that has been stopped, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. What is that? Many people love religion. We have millions of religious people. It's a form of godliness, but they deny the power. What is that power they deny? We know the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The power that they deny is the power of the message of the gospel. What's that message? Gospel is simply good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ has come to redeem us, has come to save us from our sin, has come to wash us clean. That's the good news. The good news is that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this is it. This is the good news. And we refuse to hold on to that. That's the power that lives within us, Christ that lives within us. But we hold on to a form of religion. We love our liturgies. We love our religion. We love our church. Many even mourning church right now. We don't realize that the church has just gone back to its original place called home. And in the homes, that's where the church started. And we don't realize that this is the most powerful representation of church in the earth, is the church that starts at home, where the father and the parents, the mother, leads a family to God. What a powerful picture. And church has just gone back, but we are mourning our buildings, our lights, our music, our bands, our cozy seats, our friends. I do mourn one thing. I mourn the hugs and the love and the smiles and the laughter of the beloved. I miss the fellowship and the encouragement that you can exchange one to another. So I do mourn that. But I do not mourn the other things of buildings and lights and all the things that we used to call church. Now church is at home, and I trust that you are having an awesome time having church at home. So here in Timothy it says that this is what the world's like. It's exactly, this is written hundreds of years ago, and it pinpoints the last days, and this is where we're at. It's the last days where every one of these things are being filled. And the writer says, have nothing to do with them. You need to come out. And we should not hold on to forms of godliness. Many of us are holding on to forms. It seems real, but it's not real. Be careful of what form you are holding, because that which you are holding on to, you will be formed by, and you will be shaped by those things. So in Revelation 18 verse 4, this has been a scripture that's been on my heart, even coming into 2020, into this year. It says, then I heard another voice from heaven, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins or receive any of her plagues. We're in the time of a plague. We're facing another plague. It's a pandemic. It's called COVID-19 or coronavirus. And we're in the grips, right in the midst of a plague. And you know, I've particularly taken these times to speak into this season, to speak into our lives and into your life as a believer, as a child of God. If you're listening and you've never been born again, you've never opened your heart to Jesus, you've never invited him in, this is a fantastic time to do this. It's a great opportunity to come to a place where you can surrender your heart to God. We know that in God we will be protected. It says we need to come out of something in order to be protected, and we need to go into something. The word God, always, there are pictures in Scripture that we need to decipher. The word, so much of the word is written in colorful language that we don't understand. Firstly, it's written in Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and where the language was different. We have an English translated version, and we miss so many things in the translation. But more than that, we miss so many things because we have these filters. Our minds, we are preconditioned through teaching, through some doctrines that we hold on to, through some mindsets that we've developed over the years. And now we come to a time where we are in a period where there's a great shaking, and we need to ask ourselves, what's going to protect us? What's going to save us in this time? There are so many fearful people. What shocks me, there are so many fearful Christians. I can understand a world being fearful because it's succumbed to the systems of this world. But what frustrates me is that how fearful Christians are, how we panic over the signs of the times, how we panic, how we self-preserve, how we hide away from something called a virus, and we are so obsessed with this. I'm not telling you to be reckless, but I'm challenging you that you're not doing what you're doing from a position of fear and trying to protect your family and trying to hide away at this time. Your obligation as a child of God is not to hide away in this season. You're obligated and you're mandated by the Lord to rise up and to share this good news. You carry a mandate. If you're hiding away trying to protect yourself from a virus while the rest of the world goes to a lost eternity, I want to tell you, you're in a dangerous place. You need to check your mind, check your heart. You cannot operate from a position of fear. You need to operate from a position of love and concern for this world. This world is passing away and everything that's in it. And the only thing that's going to stand, we know, is the Word of God and those things that are established on His Word. Anything else built on another foundation is going to be washed away, including those who have never consumed the Word, those who have never taken the word and applied it to their lives. If this is you, this is a time where we as children of God need to examine ourselves. We need to ask, are we in the word? Are our behaviors, the decisions we're making, established on the word of God? Or is it established on some clever preachers who interpreted the word for you? Is it established on some clever books you read about some things about the word, and now you build your life upon it? You need to ask. This is a shaking that we have to come back to the word. And John on the Isle of Patmos, and he records the revelation. It's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus being revealed. And in this time, in this year 2020, with all the plagues going on, we need to rise up and reveal Jesus. What a time to reveal Christ. How do you reveal Him? Not just through your words, but through your position as a child of God, through your identity. And that identity comes because you are born again. You have accepted Him. And so, but you need to, like what Paul writes to Timothy, you need to be careful who you hang out with. You need to be careful what you're feeding yourself. Because if it's leading you to the practices of this world, which is the pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, if those are the things it's leading you to, it's not building on the rock. It's not building on accurate foundations. So you have to come out. Revelation 18 and 19 is dealing with a system of this world that's being shaken, and that system is Babylon. It's called the Great Harlot, and everything that this world right now has symbolized, it's Babylonian. It's lust, it's self-pleasure, it's seeking self-satisfaction. And yeah, in Revelation, Babylon is falling, and the angel of the Lord has come and has shaken Babylon. And one of the things that's mentioned over and over in chapter 18 and chapter 19 is the merchandising and the trading. And it's just so amazing that trading has stopped. Economies are collapsing. And it's being shaken right now. So over something that's invisible, a virus. But there is something that is invisible right now that is much greater, that is shaking everything. And that is our Father, it's our Lord, who has become visible to us through the Word and through Christ, that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And today we have the Logos, a written Word, that can come to us. And as we eat this Word, it becomes nourishment. We need to meditate on it. But God is also revealed in this time and in this age through something called sun. The picture of God that's portrayed to the world will see God through an image called sun. God, there's so many metaphors in the Bible. There's so many ways that the Lord has spoken to us. Do not get confused with the metaphors. They're just pointing us in a direction. And many people say, oh, you know, you like this religion, that religion, you're using metaphors, you're using a style of preaching that is entertaining. Let me tell you that Jesus spoke in parables. Not even the disciples understood. They needed to, it needed to be deciphered for them. And there are metaphors, there are principles, there are ways in which God speaks to us through His Word that needs to be deciphered. And we know that that deciphering, who deciphered the Word in the early church? It was apostles' doctrine. It was the teachings of the apostles. They took the Word. It was a grace gift. In Ephesians chapter 4, we hear about the grace gifts that has been given. And one of it, firstly, was apostles. Why? Because the apostles had the first obligation of taking the Word and breaking it and making the doctrines known to mankind. And apostles still exist today. The fivefold ministry is fully functioning in the earth. All fivefold, not just one or two, in different periods and dispensations. There are different emphases, but we still have apostles who break God's Word, breaks God's Word to us, who deciphers, help us understand. And when we eat that food, we become strong and healthy. We leave the systems of the world because it becomes clear. The Word is a light. And in light, darkness has to leave. And when darkness leaves, you see all the obstacles and the barriers to truth that was blocking you. It's revealed in light. So don't be afraid. We need, in order to understand the purposes of God, you need something. You need to have your mind renewed. Romans says that, Romans chapter 12, maybe I can go there, and verse 1. If you can page there with me, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let me just read. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. That is your true and proper worship. We think that worship is only singing a song. This is your true and proper worship. It's offering yourself as a living sacrifice. The singing is only a part. I know there are some who don't like singing and don't like expressive worship, but that's very much part of you offering yourself. Some can't lift up their hands, they can't open their mouth, they can't worship. Let me tell you, you've got a problem. It's part, you need to sacrifice yourself. It takes a sacrifice in order for you to lift up your hands and to worship. So we need to worship the Lord. We need to become the sacrifice. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you want to know God's purpose for this season, God's purpose for your life, why you're here on earth, you're never going to know it without a transformed mind. It says here, be transformed through the renewing of your mind so that you can understand and know what is God's perfect will. It's right here in Scripture. So you need to first be transformed. You first need your mind adjusted. You cannot come with your old thinking and get an upgrade. You need to come with a mindset that says, I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to humble myself. Lord, I'm ready for you to search me. If you come with that humility, this is why the world's struggling to accept Christ. It's because it's full of pride. It's full of lust of the flesh. It's full of the pride of life, and it's unable to come to a humble position. It's unable to bend its knee. It's too proud to say there's a way to God, and He has predetermined this way. He has predetermined this way. In one of our teachings in Original Intent, we emphasize that God did not create you to save you. You were not created to be redeemed. God redeemed you before He created you. It says that Christ was slain, the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. Before the world was even created, the Lamb was already slain. We don't understand that. Right? Because we live in chronos. We live in time that's sequential. So we think everything needs to happen in a particular order because time happens in an order. But God lives outside of time. He doesn't live within chronos. He created chronos. He created time when He created day and night. When He created the sun and the moon, the stars, and He created time, and He separated the day from the night. And that is the creation of time. God created time, but before He created time, He lived outside of time. You can't create something from within it. Human beings are still trying to create other human beings. We can't create from that which we are within. Even Einstein said, you can't solve a problem from within the same context in which it was created. You have to step out of that situation, out of that problem to solve it. And God is outside of time, so things doesn't happen chronologically with God. The Spirit is not inhibited, is not controlled by time. They are outside of time. And so when things happen, it happens completely different. It's one of the walks of faith that we as human beings need to accept. We cannot fathom what it is like to be outside of time, because we were created inside. We were born inside of time. But we were saved outside of time. That's why God has, Proverbs said, He has put eternity in our hearts. You have something that is outside of time that lives in you. It's called eternity. It's not governed by time. So this season that we are going through in this COVID-19, you can step out of the time zone by stepping into Christ. You know how this is going to end. Our hope is in Christ. It's a mature position as a child of God. This is our maturity, that we step out of where we at. We step out of our immaturity, where we think everything needs to happen the way we see it. God's mind is not our mind. His way is not our way. He lives outside of the time that we are confined to. So God did not create us to save us. He created us for His nature and because of who He is. And 1 John 4 says He is love. God created us out of love, to be loved, for His love. And this is the purposes of God. If you come back, if your mind is renewed, you will find the love of God. And in that love, it will cast out every fear that you have. You do not need to fear COVID-19. Let me just put it in context. And some of you will not like me for saying this. The context is, we're in a season, it's a plague, it's a pandemic, it's one of the fastest spreading viruses, it's a weak virus, it's actually not a strong virus, it's easily destroyed. The problem is it spread so fast. So there are other flu viruses that have been far more dangerous than COVID-19. There are more deaths linked to other diseases than to COVID-19, but we are being programmed. Every news channel you watch is COVID-19. Every channel you turn to is COVID-19. What are you being filled with? You're being filled with facts, not truth. You've been filled with facts and you're listening to one channel after another and you are filling your mind with facts and you're succumbing to the spirit of this age which rules over and dominates over man, and you're now being dominated over by an invisible enemy called COVID-19 and its fear. The truth is, we know the end. We know that even the Word of God says, if we come out of her, we'll be protected. We'll be protected by plagues. You might get it, but it's not going to kill you. And if you do die of some other disease, hallelujah, death has been conquered. I can't understand our fear of death. Jesus conquered death and the grave. We need to disappear. This body, this flesh, you need to realize it's part of a system that is passing away, but my mind needs to be renewed. I need to grow up in Christ. I know when I've matured is when I have that perfect love, because He's perfect love. And the pictures, we need to get out the way. I need to let my flesh and my insecurities and all that, I'm get out the way. You need to get out the way. That old man needs to be crucified with Christ, like Paul says. You need to nail him to the cross. That old man of fear, that old man of panic, that old man of woe is me, old man of all this world is evil. You need to know that everything that was created is going to be restored through Christ. He is the image of God's glory, and that image today in the earth, again, is pictured through something called Son. God has allowed you as His Son. The church is God's Son in the earth right now. That church, the ecclesia, represents God. And as it comes out, this is a shaking for the church to come out of the systems of this world that has kept it trapped with lust, with pride, with all sorts of things, entertainment. It's a shaking that frees us. And right now, I want you to ask, Lord, grow me, strengthen me, let me be mature. The Bible, you need to be submerged into Christ. You need to be full of Christ. You need to be baptized into Him. Baptism is another it's a metaphor used throughout Scripture. When the Israelites, Timothy spoke to us about Joseph, when Joseph died, the Israelites were trapped in Egypt, and there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And that Pharaoh, I explained one Wednesday, that Pharaoh was fatherless. The previous Pharaoh was fathered by Joseph. The next Pharaoh that rose up never knew Joseph, never knew a father. And what was the net result of that? That Pharaoh killed the firstborn sons, or went after the firstborn sons of Egypt, of the Israelites, but couldn't touch the firstborn sons because they were protected by the blood. And what did God do? Every firstborn of Egypt, of a wicked system, was judged and they succumbed. So the image of son is a powerful image in Scripture, but that son needs to be baptized into Christ. If you're not baptized into Christ, if you're not coming out of Christ, then you're not of Him. A picture of baptism: the Israelites, when they went through the Red Sea, it was a baptism. Why? They'd come out of slavery and they had to go into a promise that God had called them to, and they had to cross through, firstly, the Red Sea. It was their first baptism. Their second baptism was in the wilderness, a baptism of struggle, of strife. So that second baptism took Egypt out of them. The first baptism took them out of Egypt. The second baptism took Egypt out of them. And the third baptism, they had to go through the Jordan. And that third baptism took the wilderness, the wandering, that spirit of wandering out of them so they could enter a promise. And I believe that this shaking is a baptism where we are being placed in Christ, where we are coming into the maturity. This is the church's greatest hour. This is a baptism for us. It's a baptism of fire, but it's going to produce a mature son. And we're coming through a Jordan right now. We need to, like Joshua, get 12 stones and get it ready so that we can place it as a marker that this is where the Lord has brought us. We need these beacons. I'm saying a lot of stuff. Baptism, and we need to be baptized into Christ right now. We need to be baptized into His Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that takes us and baptizes us into Christ. It's when we are baptized into the Holy Spirit, it's Christ that takes us and baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. And this baptism is an important baptism for us, that we are baptized into Christ. We are baptized into Him. So this baptism is a picture. When we are baptized, every believer, we need to be baptized. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit takes us and places us in Christ. We are born again. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The word baptism, it's a word, the Greek word is baptizo, which means to be submerged or placed into. It doesn't mean sprinkle. The same word is used throughout Scripture, baptizo, for baptism. It's to be submerged in waters, to be placed into water. It's a picture It's a picture. Even Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. And what a picture. Here is Jesus, the Lamb, who is about to be slain. Just before he is about to be slain, Jesus comes to John the Baptist and says, "You must baptize me." And John the Baptist says, "No, I'm not even worthy to tie your sandals. You want me to baptize you? I'm not worthy." And Jesus says, "No, for you need to baptize me that for all godliness to be fulfilled, for the word of God to be fulfilled, the purposes of God to be fulfilled." What is Jesus talking about? John the Baptist was, his father was a priest. He was the high priest doing the sacrifices in his town. John the Baptist was his son who was destined for what? The son, the first son, took over the responsibility of the priesthood, which was sacrificing. John the Baptist would have been the one to baptize or to do the sacrificial lamb offerings once a year for sin. Yet John the Baptist is taking Jesus and as a priest takes Jesus, who's the Lamb of God, and baptizes him. It's a picture. It's a metaphor. It's right there for us to see. Jesus is being placed and submerged into water. It's a picture of sacrifice. John the Baptist is sacrificing as a priest. He is sacrificing Jesus, the Lamb. And he places him, he submerges him in water. And but the scripture says, when he had come out, you can only come out of what you have been in. Jesus was in the water, and when he had come out of the water, a dove ascended, the Spirit of God like a dove. It doesn't say that it looked, it was a dove. It says the Spirit of God like a dove. So it looked like a dove. It like an image of a dove ascended on Jesus, and he heard the words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." What did God say? "This is my Son." Obedience. Jesus had just said that the purpose of God must be revealed. John the Baptist had just placed him into water as a picture of submersion, a picture of being sacrificed, and has just brought it. And God said, "That is my Son." Obedience always leads to affirmation from the Father. You must obey. And John the Baptist lifts him out. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, descends like a dove, witnesses that this is the Son, and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He's affirmed. This is a time when the Spirit needs to descend on us and we need to hear the words of God. "This is my Son. You are my Son." And I'm here to tell you today that you are God's Son. Whether you're male or female, you are God's Son to accurately represent Him as you step out of obedience. Now, another picture of this baptism is that when you are baptized, you are placed in something and you are buried. Colossians, Thessalonians, it talks about burial. The different parts of the scripture, baptism is a picture of burial, that we are buried with Christ, then we are raised with Him. What a powerful picture. But when you are buried, something stays buried when you obey. When you're obedient to God, the old man gets buried. Our old man is crucified with Christ. And you are brought out completely new. You are, Corinthians, you are a new creation. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. And you are a new creation or a recreation. You are recreated through Christ. The old man is now crucified, is gone. The baptism is actually a picture of burying the old man. Some old men are You still have some old men ghost walking around. The behaviors, the thinking, it's not buried. It hasn't remained buried. You've resurrected it. You've gone to look for it through your old habits. The old man needs to be buried. This is the beauty of the picture of baptism. There's a legal term, corpus delicti, which means that you need a body of evidence to prove somebody guilty. And in baptism, the body, the corpus, is gone. You have buried the old man. And when you are raised up in Christ, you are a new man. The old man is gone. Corpus delicti, the body of evidence to cause you to be found guilty, is gone. The judge who judges you now says, where is the body of evidence? You can say, it's been buried, it's been crucified with Christ. I am now a new man. I want to tell you, in this day and age, we need to be resurrected in Christ. We need to rise up as a new man. We need to remind ourselves, the old man is buried. But in order to understand that, our minds must be renewed. I'm going to speak to us about warfare and how we get through the season. Over this few weeks, while we're in lockdown, while the world's in crisis, I'm speaking directly to the church as a way of, as a pastor, a shepherd, shepherd sheep, shepherding the flock. It's my calling, it's my purpose. In this life, God has called me to be a shepherd, to shepherd as an elder in the house of eternal flame. I'm shepherding as a pastor to many out there in different countries. I'm shepherding. What am I doing? I'm saying his rod and his staff, they lead us out. And in the presence of our enemies, God is preparing a table. It's a shepherding process of being led out. We're coming out of Babylon. It's one thing the Lord has told me. I'm leading my people out. And some want to stay. I'm not fooled to believe that everyone who calls themselves Christian, call themselves a child of God, is actually a son of God. A son is obedient. Is obedient to the Father. A child needs to be brought up. And often we're still children, so we are disciplined into the ways of our Father. And then when we obey and we go through the process of baptism in this life, and the old man disappears and we are renewed in our mind, we understand the purposes of God, we understand who we are, we grow up, we are mature, we can clearly divide the word of truth. We love the word. We don't become angry when people are against us. We actually look at ourselves always, and we measure ourselves against the standard of the word and of Christ, and the old man is gone. So some of you need a baptism. If you've never been baptized as a step of obedience, never been submerged in water, I want to encourage you to do so. There are some people tuning in, and one of our brothers, Shane, he baptized his son in the swimming pool a few weeks ago. I was so blessed to see that. And Shane's father was baptized by his mother shortly before that without him knowing. And this is the time. People, if you're not baptized, baptism doesn't save you. Obedience saves you. And if you're not obedient to the word of God, now is the time. Get baptized. And water baptism, being submerged, is an enormous step of obedience. Some of you, as you want to detune now, or you're thinking about somebody that's never been baptized and have every argument, we don't understand it. Today, I hope I shed some light on this. Be renewed, get through the season, be transformed through the new of your mind, be obedient even through baptism, be baptized into the word, meditate on the word and can talk a whole lot more of that. But won't you come today? Won't you come? Won't you cancel the fear of COVID-19? There are thousands and thousands of people are going to contract this virus. The Lord says, come out of her and you'll be spared from this plague. It's God's word. You need to apply God's word. You need to walk in it. And if you do get this virus, know that it's not your death sentence. The mortality rate of this virus around the world is still 3% or less than 3%. It's very low. It's a low mortality rate. The pictures you're seeing of people, mass graves and people dying all over, people have been dying at large scale for many years. If you look at how many people have died this year alone, it's millions of people. So if you look at how many people have died because of COVID-19, it's a fraction of the millions who have died of other diseases. So if we had seen all those other graves, you would have been panicked. We said, oh, the world's going to ruin. The world's already in ruin. It's already messed up. We need to stand up, church. We need to arise. You need to shake the dust from you. You need to spread this word. You need to obey the mandates of Jesus Christ, which hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. Go make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's his mandate. And then he finishes off and says, teaching them to what? Obey. Matthew 28. Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. The verbs he uses, present continuous, means he's not only talking to the disciples, he's talking to the entire church. He's talking to us. He says, this is what I'm telling you to do. You need to go into all the world, not just hide away in your home. You need to go. You need to reach out. And with social media now, you can reach out. Use your WhatsApp, use your messages, reach out to the lost, spread the gospel. This gospel is, COVID-19 is not going to kill us. Sin will. You have 100% chance of dying in this world. 100%. You're going to die. Sometime, sooner or later, if Jesus doesn't come, we're all going to die. I give you 100% guarantee that you're going to die. All right? When? We don't know. Okay, so we can't argue that. That's a fact. It's a truth. It's going to happen. When? We don't know. All right? No one knows that time. And when Jesus will come, not even Jesus himself knows that time, that chronos. Only the Father knows that. So we're going to die. The thing is, we know when we die, where we go. It's fantastic. We win. Right? Death is not our final answer. So COVID-19 is just a small, insignificant effect in our world as the church. It's actually a tool right now to bring life and hope and the love of God to people. Demonstrate love. So, out of this, we need to arise strong. It's a baptism, it's a plague. We need to rise up out of it. We need to know that our old man is gone. So, come with me and let's stop fearing. Stop the news. Watch 5 minutes. Get an update. Switch it off. Your televisions, that binging on series and one program after another. I don't say this as a judgment. I say this as a truth. If you're not spending time in God's Word, you're not being fed. If you're not meditating on God's Word, your mind is going to succumb to Babylon. If you're not spending time in God's Word, if you're not reading it, if you're not meditating on it, you're going to succumb because your mind will be trapped in Babylon. I can't stress this enough, beloved. Some will say, but Charles, I can't read God's Word. Know why you can't read God's word? It's because you're reading it to try and study it so that you can be smart. Read it as a love letter from God to you. And ask yourself, Father, what are you saying to me? Not what are you saying to others. What are you saying to me? Read it as God's love letter. Read it as a book, as a letter God wrote with his own blood to you. Don't read it so that you can be smart. Read it as a love letter. Read it as Jesus' final words to us. Read it with excitement. And read it when your mind is still, when you can meditate on it. I take a verse and I meditate on it. I take a passage and I read it over and over and I meditate on it. And when I don't understand it, I leave it. I come back, I read it again, and I speak to the Holy Spirit. I pray into it. I say, Lord, what is really happening in this passage? What are you saying to me about my old life? And so if you're not doing that, if you're not digging into God's word, if you're not reading it, and if you say, I can't read it, it doesn't make sense, that's a lie from the enemy. Because this has been written to you from your beloved, from Jesus. So get a version that's easy to read, even if the Message Bible, read it. But read it and tell yourself, I'm actually going to get yourself a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, relax with God's word, and read. Don't just open and read. That's the one mistake we make with God's word, is we say, all right, Lord, speak to me, and we open it, and, you know, God is no wizard, and that type of reckless behavior, God will never reward. Take a book and start reading from chapter 1. Read the introduction. If you've got a Bible that gives you an introduction to the book, who wrote the book, what church was it written to, what people group was it written to, why was this book written? You read the background to it first. Google why Romans, if you're going to read Romans. And then you start reading one or two verses, or read a chapter. Read the entire chapter in a version of the Bible that you enjoy reading. And then you ask, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying? Where are you in this passage, God? So there are 5 questions you ask. So if you're taking notes, we call this the discovery or the inductive method. So the first thing you ask is, where is God in this, what I just read? What is God saying about people in this passage? All right, so you say, where is God? What is God in this passage? What is he saying about people? What is he saying about me in this passage? So what is God saying? Where am I? How does this apply to my life? And then you ask, what do I need to now change about what is being said in this passage? So the word becomes flesh to me. It becomes meat. I eat it. I then grow by it. I apply my life to it. And then I ask, who am I going to tell by what I just read? Those 5 statements, those 5 questions. Where is God? What do I learn about God? What do I learn about others? What do I learn about myself? What do I need to change about myself? And who do I tell? Those 5 questions will revolutionize how you read God's word and how you apply it. As an inductive method, I can go on. My time is up. And I want to close. So may the Lord bless you, beloved. May you have an awesome Sunday in Him. May you arise. May you be strong. And if you're still in your pajamas, may you get undressed, get dressed, and be ready for whatever happens. Every night when I go to bed, I put my clothes ready for the next day. And it's ready. And you think, but you're in lockdown, where are you going to go? And you ask, where are you going? I'm ready for the day. If anything happens, I'm ready. If I need to take the gospel, if I need to respond, I'm ready. I get dressed. I don't walk around for hours in shorts and pajamas. I'm dressed to move. And it seems crazy, but when I'm dressed, my mindset adapts to how I'm dressed. If I'm in my pajamas all day, my mind says, relax, you know, I laze around. But if I'm ready, I get dressed. I'm going to study God's Word. I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to respond to things. I'm going to make some calls. I'm not going to be undressed. I'm dressed as if I'm going to meet you personally. So it sounds crazy, but I realize that this mind needs to be transformed. How I'm dressed, how my condition, my environment is, all affects how I'm thinking. And so be transformed through the renewing of your mind so you can understand God's perfect will and His purposes for this time.